Imagine that there is a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening deletes whatever part of the balance you have failed to use during the day. What would you do? The answer is, he would spend every cent of that money. Amen? Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. For every day, God credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night, it writes off as lost whatever of this you have failed to invest to good purpose. It carries no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day, it opens a new account for you. Each night, it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get from it the utmost. The clock is running. Make the most of your time. Our text verse today is verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter 5, which says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. The title of our message this morning is Redeeming the Time. Let me give you several points, starting with R this morning, and we'll get into our text. Let me give you some responses when people are challenged to redeem the time. Some of the responses we get are vary in age groups and whatnot. I think of one particularly young people will say, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got my whole life ahead of me. Well, that does not excuse you, young person, from trying to redeem the time today. Amen? You may have your whole life ahead of you, or you may be a young person who meets with an early grave. You don't know that you've got your whole life ahead of you. So some people will say, I've got my whole life ahead of me. Others will say, in responses to redeeming the time, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. And ladies and gentlemen, we've all been guilty of procrastinating, amen? We've all been guilty of saying, well, I think I'll mow the yard tomorrow, when it rained tomorrow, amen, and you weren't able to mow the yard. I understand that. By the way, I'm not pointing a finger at you, I'm confessing, amen? I understand. But I'll get to it later. One day I'll redeem the time, but just not today. Well, that's all you have. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow never comes. The only thing we ever have is today. How about this one, Brother Horsch? I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time. Again, you know what you're doing when you say that? You're gambling. Because you don't know that. There's only one that knows the end of our days. How about, I don't really need to do it right now. Can I say this especially to our young people and our teens and up into college and career? When you make a decision for Christ and the Lord squeezes your heart, do it now. Don't delay. One of the devil's greatest weapons is that little word, delay. How about this? I'll start after fill in the blank. As we met with some of the men yesterday, it was such a privilege to go and to use a talent that God has given some of us to play softball. And honestly, it's nothing that I praise the Lord for all the time that my father spent with me playing baseball. If it was just for that moment yesterday to go and hit a ball 320 feet and catch and run the bases just to mingle with those inmates, be a help to them, it'd be all worth it. Amen. And we were able to be a help, but I remember one of the men particularly that Brother Heath was dealing with said, well, I keep falling and I keep failing I think I'll just start, after I get out, I'll start living the Christian life. And Brother Heath said, no. You need to do it now. You need to do it now. How about this one? A response that we see, Brother Lem. Someone will say, it's not the right time. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's always the right time to redeem the time. It's always the right time. It's not really that important. Well, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Something came up. I've got too much else to do right now. And ladies and gentlemen, we could go on and on and on with responses that people give when challenged to redeem the time. How about some roadblocks to redeeming the time? Roadblocks. I think of Luke 16:1, the story. And Jesus told this story. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused that he had wasted his goods. Proverbs 18:9 says, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Can we say this, that God is not a fan of waste of anything, but particularly the waste of time? God takes time very seriously. And my, oh my, how we waste time. Amen or oh me, you don't have to say it. I'll say oh me, how I've wasted time. The hymn says, I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Let me give you a few modern roadblocks for redeeming the time. Now, for some of you, some of these won't apply. Some of our seniors will say, what was that he was talking about? Amen. If the average person lives 70 years, these are statistics I pulled, 70 years, and praise God, that's the biblical age, amen, 70, amen. The average person will spend 10 years watching the television. 10 years. 1/7 of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a roadblock to redeeming the time. 10 years in front of the television. Okay? The average person will spend 3 years on the internet. 3 years. The average person will spend 5 years on Facebook. Modern site where you can talk to your friends and some good things. Cell phones. Texting, blogging, emailing, sports, hobbies. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. I'm not against you enjoying life. Listen, I'm not against you watching a football game on Sunday, as long as you come back Sunday night. Amen. I'm not against that. I say about football games, and I like football. I say there's nothing better that I like falling asleep to, Brother Jenkins, on a Sunday afternoon than a good football game. Amen. Praise the Lord. What are you trying to say? Hey, listen, you have to identify your weak points. Listen, if the television's a weak point for you, shut it off. If you're just sitting there wasting time, if you spend 5 minutes in your Bible and 2 hours in front of the television, well, you got things out of whack. Roadblocks. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Roadblocks to redeeming the time. Responses to redeeming the time. How about some reasons for redeeming the time? Look at our text, if you would. It says in verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When we say this, number one, under the reasons for redeeming the time, time is flooding with evil. Time is flooding with evil. When I look back in the Old Testament and I see how God dealt with people, there are two particular judgments that shock me. Perhaps they don't shock you, but they shock me how God dealt. And by the way, let us not ever be mad at God when a holy God deals justly with a sinful mankind. Listen, God is holy. And that is the hub attribute from which all the other spokes come from. And so God is perfectly within His right to judge. And two judgments in the Old Testament particularly stick out. I think, Brother Keith, of the flood. When God literally destroyed everything that hath breath on the earth. And Genesis 6:5 tells us why He flooded the earth. It said, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so God cleaned the slate, except for Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And then just 500 years later, the second judgment that shocks me is the judgment of God raining down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah for their wicked, evil sins. And he said in Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And these must have been evil and terrible days for God to judge so sternly. But can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, getting back to our point that time is flooding with evil? The Bible says that our day is worse. The Bible says that our day is worse. 2 Timothy 3:3 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Some of you seniors never could have conceived of the day where you'd hear of a child being abducted, abused, and left in a hole to die. That's the day we live in. That's the day we live in. It's flooding with evil. 2 Timothy chapter 3 has a laundry list. For men shall be lovers of their own selves and covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Hey, how is it that a man who can take a Hippocratic oath to preserve life and save life can puncture the back of a baby's skull and literally suck out their brain matter and leave them to die on a cold table? I'll tell you how it is. They're without natural affection. Time is flooding with evil. It's flooding. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't despair. The worse it gets, the closer we are to, as Pastor John said, listen for that trumpet. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Time is flooding with evil. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Perilous time shall come, verse 1 says. Not only is time flooding with evil, but could we say it this way? Time is flying by. Time is flying by. I know some of you, obviously, you could lap me on this three or four times over. I graduated from high school in 1990. That's 20 years ago. And honestly, I tell people ask me about this. I said, you know, you graduated in 1990. Now, some of you told me I graduated in 1944, and I still can't believe, you know, people graduated back then. I don't know what it was. Amen. They said 1990. Brother Wally, 20 years has gone by like this. 20 years ago, I walked across the platform and just ready to take on the world, amen, at 18 years old. Now I'm 38 years old, and people ask me, I said, it seems like about 10 years, maybe 8 years, just flew by, absolutely flew by. I've been married since 1996. Next year will be our 15th year of marriage. And people ask me, and they say, they say, you've been married 14 years. I said, honestly, and I talked to my wife about it. It just seems like 4 or 5 years ago we got married. Why? Because time flies by. People say, hey, time flies when you're having fun. Time flies no matter what. Amen. It just, there are some people, you know, you've been at work, amen, and you know, there'll be times when you're at work and maybe you're not that busy and you're doing this. You're doing this, you're working, and you look up at the clock. And you think, good gracious, is the battery working in that thing? Amen. Did Pastor Rich break the clock again? Amen. But then there are other times, Brother Sam, is when you're working so hard and you look up and you're, is it 5 o'clock already? Wow, time just flew by. Listen, time's not only flooding with evil. Time's flying by. So you know what we need to do? We need to redeem the time. We need to redeem the time. Time's flying. Time's flooding. It seems like yesterday that I was just a child playing in the streets. Playing ball till mom called us home. Till the shadows got long and the streetlights came on. Amen? It seems like yesterday that I was that teen with all the insecurities and fears that we all have as a teenager. It seems like yesterday that I was just a brand new husband wondering how I was going to provide for my wife. It goes by so fast. It's flying by. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Time's flooding, time's flying. Something else, time's fleeting, isn't it? Time's fleeting. You know, you could never get back time. Jesus said of time in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Time's fleeting. I enjoy the sunset, but it's a grim reminder of the end, isn't it? Sunset. It's the end of the day. On December 1st, 2009, my father passed away at the age of 61. And he is the first person in my immediate family that I've ever lost. I want to just tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. One day our life ends. Alma Newbill had to slip out. She has to go to the calling hours this afternoon. But Brother Bill lived a long life, 87 years old. But his life came to a sunset, didn't it, on Wednesday? Time is fleeting. Time is flying. Time is flooding with evil. Something else, time is flowering. Time is flowering. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Some of you ladies like getting flowers. Good spot for an amen for the ladies. And fellas, now you heard them. Amen. So You're on the hook now. Don't bring the bill to me, okay? All right, amen. I got my own flowers to buy. But a flower has a limited lifespan, doesn't it? A flower comes to life in the spring. It has that period in the summer where it reaches the height of its beauty. In autumn, it begins to wither away. And in the wintertime, it's dead. Time is flowering, isn't it, folks? For some of you, young people, you're in the springtime of your life. And that's a wonderful time. Amen, saints? To be in the springtime of life. Others in their 20s and 30s getting married and having children. And you're in that summertime of life. And praise the Lord for that. But others of you are kind of getting into the 50s and 60s and you're moving toward autumn. Boy, I'll tell you what, I feel like autumn this morning. Every part of me hurts from playing all that softball. Amen. I said to my wife, I said, oh my goodness, I hurt everywhere. I don't know anywhere that my ear, I think, doesn't hurt. That's about it. Amen. But you're into that autumn period where things are starting to, we could say this, break down and move. But you know, each one of us comes to winter, don't we? Because time is flowering. Time is flowering, time is fleeting, time is flying, time is flooding with evil. So those are some reasons to redeem the time. Could we give you some requirements to redeem the time? If you're going to redeem the time, there are some requirements that God gives. The first requirement is not in our text in Ephesians, but is in a different text. The first thing you're going to have to do is prioritizing. Prioritizing. Matthew 6:33 says it this way, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I had the privilege yesterday to minister to an inmate and was talking to him. And Brother Jones, he was talking to me about the anxiety he had in prison, how he trusts God to take care of his family on the outside, but he just suffered from terrible anxiety. And I've talked with Brother Jones about this before, and one of the things Brother Jones has given me great counsel is you don't ever want to say, "I know what you're feeling," because I don't. I've never been in prison. I don't know what it is to be scared every day, to always be looking over your shoulder. But I do know what the Word of God says. And what I told that man in this verse says, and I said, "My friend, if you'll take care of God's business, God will take care of your business." As you read that text before, it's all about worry. Hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat. God feeds the birds. Don't worry about how you're going to be clothed. God clothes the flowers. Don't worry about things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're going to redeem the time, you're going to have to do some prioritizing. You're going to have to put first things first. You know where you get that? Right here. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not being harsh, but there are some of you that have not passed out a gospel tract in months. Listen, you're not going to redeem the time. You're not going to redeem the time. You don't pass out gospel tracts and give out the gospel. Why? Is that the most important thing? Amen? Just letting people know that there is a Savior and there's a real heaven to gain and a real hell to shun. You're going to have to start prioritizing. Now start putting first things first. Putting God first, letting Him put the rest in order. Prioritizing. Something else you'll have to do if you go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 15. You're not only going to have to prioritizing, walking. Not only prioritizing, but walking carefully. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That word circumspectly means with great care and carefulness. Best illustration I ever heard of this, I heard a preacher, Brother Chuck Cofty, Special Forces. Not only Special Forces, Brother Mark, but the man who trained the Special Forces. And he said, "We never walked, when we were in Vietnam, we never walked in open road. We always went on the trail that was least traveled, very softly, very carefully, watching our steps, making sure there weren't mines or trip wires, walking circumspectly." You know what, ladies and gentlemen, we need to walk circumspectly. We need to, in our walk for Christ, in our daily walk with Him, we need to walk carefully. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Hey, listen, do people know you're a Christian? Do people understand that you're saved, that you go to church, that you try and talk to other people about Him? Hey, walking circumspectly. And can I say this? Maybe you haven't been doing some of those things and the Lord's been convicting you. Walking starts with one step. "A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again," Proverbs tells us. Well, Pastor, I've tried and failed so many times. Don't you buy into that excuse from the devil. You keep trying. You take another step. You take another step. Because every journey walked starts with one step. Number 3, not only walking and prioritizing, but look at verse 17. Understanding God's will. Verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Can I say this? If you're here today and you are not saved, you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I tell you this? It is absolutely the will of God for you to receive Christ and be saved. Repenting. Repenting is the will of God. You say, what is that, Pastor? The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They say, what does that mean, Pastor? Here I am. I'm going in the wrong direction. I know it. I'm heading the wrong way. I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that there's a payment for sin. I realize that God loves me, sent His Son to die for me and rise from the dead. And I realize that if I'll call upon His name, I'll be saved. I repent. I repent. I turn from all those things I've been trusted in and turn to Jesus Christ. You know what you have to give up to be saved if you're here and you're not saved? There's only one thing you have to give up to be saved. Hell. That's all you have to give up to be saved. Hell. Well, don't I have to do this and this and this and this and this before I come to God? Nope. You come to Him just as you are, and He'll do the cleaning. Amen? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is repenting. The will of the Lord is reading the Word of God. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love Thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Reading the Word of God. It's God's will for you to get your nose in this book. Amen. This isn't just for preachers on Sunday. It's for God's people every day. Amen. Not only repenting and reading, praying. It's God's will for you to pray. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Does that mean we're monks and we just go into a corner and huddle and pray? No, it means everything that we do. As we mow the lawn, we pray. As we go about our jobs, we pray. As we eat our food, we pray. As we do everything, as we drive the car, we pray. We just don't close our eyes. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Repenting, reading, praying. How about witnessing? Acts 5:42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." I have good neighbors where we live. Wonderful neighbors. Trying to get them to come to Christ. Amen. By the way, sometimes it's hard when neighbors are wonderful to teach them that they need to be saved. Amen. That's what Brother Heath told us going into prison yesterday. The big difference between outside and inside is outside it's hard to get somebody to see that they need to be saved. And inside it's hard to get somebody to see that they can be saved. But this idea of witnessing, what kind of a neighbor would I be if I saw my wonderful neighbor's house on fire? And I said, well, somebody will get to it. Somebody else will take care of it. What kind of a neighbor would I be? Not a very good neighbor. Well, what if I went up to the door and said, hey, wake up, your house is on fire. Hey, get out, get the kids, get out, the house is on fire. Be pretty ornery at 1 a.m, but I think they'd be pretty glad. Hey, you know what you do when you pass out a gospel tract? Or you witness to somebody? You know what you spiritually say? Hey, your house is on fire. Don't die and go to hell. Don't die and go to hell. Hey, listen, there's a Savior. Amen? There's a Savior. And that's our responsibility, Christian. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is repenting and reading and praying and witnessing. And how about gathering? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We gather here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know why? Because it's the will of the Lord. It's the will of the Lord that we come together as a body of believers and study the Word of God and encourage one another, have prayer and fellowship. How about presenting? Presenting yourselves. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1-2, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's a presentation there that we make to God. That's the will of the Lord. Say, how do you know? It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're going to prove what is that perfect and acceptable and will of God, you've got to present yourself a living sacrifice. There's a presenting. See, we always think of that being young people. That's for young people. That's for God's people. I remember we had in Bible college, we had a big service. I can't even remember what it was, but I was ushering a Brother Merrill, and I had an offering plate that was this big. I was like, "Boy, I need one of those for Sacrifice Sunday coming up this year. Big offering, amen." And we put that plate down, and you know what we did, Brother Woodbury? We stood in it. We said, "It's a living sacrifice. I offer myself to you, God. You can have me. I present myself to you." That's the will of the Lord, that we present ourselves to God. And He's the potter and we're the clay. And you know what the clay tells the potter? Nothing. He says, "Mold me and shape me any way you want." Because we know the potter knows best, and all God's people said. There's a presenting. Number four, how do we redeem the time? Not only prioritizing and walking and understanding, but filling of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18 of our text. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, listen to me. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you believed on Jesus Christ, the moment you got saved, you got somebody called the Holy Spirit living inside you to help you, to comfort you, to convict you, to guide you. And here's what I say, Mr. Jordan, you've got all of the Holy Spirit you'll ever get the day you get saved. But when you say, "I want to be filled with the Spirit," you're saying, "Holy Spirit, you can have all of me." Romans 6:13 lays it out best. It says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." Say, how does this happen, Pastor? It's a process. You read the Word of God. You get convicted about something in your life. You say, "You know what? I'm not going to do that. Or I'm going to get rid of that. Or I am going to do this or that." And you know what you're saying? "God, I'm willing to do what you say. I'm yielding myself to you. Fill me with your Spirit." And He does. He does. He does over and over and over and over. If you're going to redeem the time, you're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a filling. And it happens over and over and over. We said this morning in our Sunday school class, talking about the Syrophoenician woman, how she came to Jesus and Jesus said to her, "It's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs." That was a slang term that the Jews had for the Gentiles. They call them Gentile dogs. And she could have been offended, Brother Wedge. The reason she was coming was that her daughter was grievously vexed and she didn't have time to be offended. So many times as Christians, we're offended at people. But you know what? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's real hard to be offended. Real hard to be offended. "Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Not only filling, I like this next one, number five. Redeeming the time. Requirements for redeeming the time. Prioritizing. Walking. Understanding. Filling. Singing. You're going to redeem the time singing. Wasn't that a great number by the choir this morning? Encouraging number. "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." It says there in verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." How important that is. I'm a whistler. I don't know if you are. I'm a whistler. I'll be around Walmart, and I remember I was actually in Walmart, and there was a sweet black family that was there, and I was there, and I was whistling, "Jesus is coming soon." And all of a sudden, this black gentleman went, and I said, and we just had a time. They say, "What is that? Making melody in your heart." Listen, if you're a Christian, you got something to sing about. You're going to heaven when you die. You've got a Savior. Oh, how we ought to sing and make melody in our hearts. You say, "I can't sing good. Sing anyway." Amen. I was going to say God's tone deaf, but I don't know if He is or not. Amen. I know He said make a joyful noise, not a joyful note. Either way, let me just make a plug for the choir. You say, I don't sing too. Get in the choir, amen. Get around some folks that sing. We need more folks in the choir. I want that loft filled, amen. You say, what if we don't sing well? We're going to sing unto the Lord, amen. It says here, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's a requirement for redeeming the time. How about verse 20, thanking. Thanking is a requirement for redeeming the time. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we ought to be thanking Him. We're going to redeem the time. It'll be because we're a thankful people. And lastly, in our text, before we get to the great marriage chapter of the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, it starts with this verse in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know what we need to do? We need to submit ourselves. Not only to God, first and foremost, we need to submit ourselves to God and what He says. We need to submit ourselves to one to another. I've said this so many times, and it's not an example, but Brother Travis Jones, I submit myself to you as your pastor. Then I'm not going to go to questionable places because you ought to think highly of your pastor. That's me submitting myself to you. Me submitting myself to you. Me submitting myself to you is to preach messages that will help and encourage you and get in the study and wrestle with God and get messages. I submit myself to you. I hope you do. Some of you submit yourselves by singing in the choir, by working in the nursery, by being a greeter, an usher, helping out on the grounds, driving a bus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, God didn't ask us to redeem the time. He told us to redeem the time. He commanded us to redeem the time. How about you today? If you're here and not saved, today's the day of salvation. Amen? Redeem the time. Don't wait. Don't mess around. Don't get to it later. Hey, if you're here and you have no idea whether you die, if you die today, whether you go to heaven or hell, you know what you need to do? You need to choose Christ. Because it does not require a decision to go to hell. But it does require a decision to go to heaven. To trust Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you just not have been a good steward of time recently, and the Lord's convicted you about that. Pray that you'll do business with Him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are